Darnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy. Touchdown.
Now they can play a little safer, but they're not going to. Nix is back. Throws it downfield. Puck. Touchdown, Williams.
A 20-yard attempt. Josh Harris, the snapper. He'll call to the place. He'll hold it. Byram waits for the snap to the place. There it is. The kick is up. The kick is good. Auburn wins. 22-19.
Welcome to another episode of the Auburn Today podcast. As always, my name is Noble. I'm joined here with my co-host, Wheeler. Today, we have a really fun podcast ahead of us, breaking down Auburn's SEC tournament win, getting, you know, NCAA bracket. March Madness is here. We're sitting here watching Virginia, Colorado State. We were just watching Wagner and Howard.
Wagner group.
That's right. Yeah, March is here. It's been a great time. I was at the entire SEC tournament. Wheeler was there for the finals.
Got to watch
the Tigers win. With our last podcast, I think we had some good takes, had some upsets that we didn't really expect. I think that the biggest one obviously is Mississippi State beating Tennessee. Neither one of us really saw that one coming. We'll talk about that. Texas A&M coming in, we talked about them being a sleeper team that could really make some noise. They did almost took down Florida in the semifinals as well for a little bit there. I thought that we were going to be playing them in the finals. Obviously, Florida played really well, moved forward. We talked last podcast that we thought that they could definitely be a team that would run the course, run the table, and I really like them for March Madness. But before we get into the NCAA tournament talk, let's focus on the SEC tournament. And before we really get into Auburn's, Wheeler, just kind of give us your thoughts on what you thought of the SEC tournament, the expectations that you had going in, seeing, you know, seeds one, I guess it was one, two, and three all fall in the quarterfinals. Give us your thoughts about that and how you think that kind of affected the outlook of the SEC going into March.
I think that this is what Bruce Pearl is talking about when he says that Auburn fans are used to football. And I think that this is a really good lesson of how the basketball tournament really works, because Auburn goes to on a run a couple of years ago when Bruce first gets here, gets cold for a couple of tournaments in a row, wins the tournament in 2019, 2020 gets canceled. And then for a couple of tournaments back to back, you lose in the first round, and people start this narrative that Bruce is bad at coaching in the tournament, when in reality, especially if you have the double bye, by the time you're playing somebody in the double bye, one, they are really, really hot. And in basketball, that is super important. Two, they're not a trash team.
Yeah.
You're not playing on Wednesday night. You're not playing the Missouris that didn't win a single game. You're not playing the Vanderbilts who, during the regular season, you're expecting 30-plus point victories against. You are playing good competition every single time you get a double bye. It's hard to win too. I mean, it sounds funny to say, I think it's almost harder to win from the double bye than it is to win from that Thursday grouping. I really do. I think that if you are a team who gets to play on Thursday, if you are, for say, a South Carolina, you're playing somebody from the play-in game, okay? So you're not playing the most elite talent on Thursday almost as a warm-up game. Because if you're South Carolina, you were on the crux of having a double bye. Talent-wise, you are as good as the teams with the double bye. And then you started off playing an easier team. That's a great way to start the tournament. It is hard to go cold turkey and beat a team that is getting hot. I thought that Auburn did a great job in this tournament. We knew that there were going to be some close calls in the tournament. We didn't expect that that was going to be the matchups that we saw. Most certainly, I was not expecting to see Dalton Connect in Tennessee just get absolutely destroyed by Mississippi State. I mean, it wasn't even a close game. They got destroyed by Mississippi State. And I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you're starting to get a little concerned that they come up to Thompson Bowling Arena, Kentucky does, they beat you there. And then right afterwards, you get beat real, like a drum by Mississippi State. I'm concerned if I'm a Tennessee fan at this point. Kentucky, that game was a heck of a game. Like, I know Kentucky fans were very frustrated that their team was highly rated and they didn't perform to expectation. But you look at it, Texas A&M is a quality team, and that was the most Texas A&M game ever.
Mm-hmm.
It was them going up there. It's basically a road game for them. And, you know, we make fun of Jimmy Dykes always talking about Boots Radford and why he has the nickname Boots. But, I mean, it was just one of those games. Wade Taylor went off, as he always does. Boots Radford, he, you know, it was a prototypical Buzz Williams thing. I feel like Buzz Williams is on the bubble every single year, and he always somehow finagles his way into the tournament. Then seeing Alabama, that was – the Alabama-Florida game was a very strange game. For the people that watched that game, it was really – or who didn't watch the game, it was a really weird game because you had a razor-thin game till about 6 minutes left in the first half, and then Florida goes on a 15-point run. And then in the second half, you know, you saw the tweets, Bama won the second half by 1 point. But that's the way it was. Then I think what the people were trying to say by that tweet, and, you know, everybody was flaming them, saying, no, well, you didn't win the game. But I think what the tweet was actually trying to say was, this game was really close with one run in it.
Yeah.
Neither team went on a run for the rest of the game. It was a razor-thin game that had just this random 15-point run that happened at the end of the first half. You love to see it. I hate Alabama. I'm glad that they lost. I'm glad that they lost by 15. But that's how it goes in basketball sometimes. And honestly, I mean, everybody, you know, sitting back, we're very excited that we won the championship. That Florida game, there were, I think, three possessions back-to-back-to-back where we did not score, where we were up one against Florida, where we had tremendous defensive stops right before we went on that great 10-0 run that really was the nail in the coffin for Florida. I think if Florida takes the lead there, Auburn doesn't win by 30. I don't think Auburn goes on a run right after. I think the crowd, you know, starts to get a little nervous. I think the team starts to get nervous. I think having the lead for the entire game, and then I think having that 10-0 run really kept everybody relaxed. And not to say that we wouldn't have won the championship, but it is such a – I mean, it's a game of inches. When you get to March, it is not – it's not big margins. Even in a game where you win by 30, you look back at it, and there are a lot of moments where Florida just didn't take advantage. And then they got beat at the end. You know, Auburn had a great game plan, and we were talking about it the entire time. They were running them out. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have not played that fast pace in a long time. It looked almost like the 2019 team. And, you know, people were getting frustrated by the fact that we were turning the ball over, looking a little sloppy, maybe pushing the ball a little too much. And I was saying the entire time, I want to err on the side of pushing too much as long as you're leading. Because yeah. They were leading the entire time. It's not like
it was
a
tight game the whole time.
Yeah, it's not like they were going down 10, down 15, hoping, you know, that these body shots are going to pay off. You're winning the game. It's not a blowout yet, but you're winning the game, and you know that Florida's played four games. You know that they already have an 8-man rotation, and one guy goes down with a compound fracture, that you have the depth advantage. You have one less game under your belt, and that was going to be the point. And I thought you saw it at the end. I thought when – it was a 15-point game with about 5-6 minutes left. You just knew for it. It didn't have it in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that's a regular season game, you could see a little bit more life out of the last 5 or 6 minutes out of a team. But in a tournament, when your legs are dead, I think that it was over at that point. I think that running them out for the entire time, I thought it was a great game plan, and I thought it was executed perfectly.
Yeah, and I think that goes into a lot of what you were saying about it's nicer to play on Thursday, and it's kind of that two-edged sword where I think that in that quarterfinal game, yes, it's better to play on Thursday, and I would almost prefer that because you get that kind of the – you get the tournament jitters out. You're playing a team like Georgia. You're playing a team like Missouri where you're like, these guys aren't very good at the end of the day. And you know that you have a talent advantage. You get those tournament jitters. You get a little bit more into it. And then you have that second game where you're actually playing basketball. You're more excited. So I think that the team that has only the one round bye has a slight advantage in that quarterfinal game. But in a finals environment, it's exactly like you said. It's so nice to have played one less game. Auburn has more depth than anyone in the conference anyways.
Anybody in the country.
Yeah. And – It was just a good strategy being able to run the team out. And that's something that I think that in the past couple tournaments especially, I remember last year was a big one. People got on to Bruce Pearl and they're like, Bruce is a great recruiter, he's not a great coach, and people kept starting that narrative. This tournament was one of the greatest coaching jobs just from on a three-game stretch that I've seen this staff have. I mean, it was phenomenal, especially against Florida. I mean, I thought Mississippi State was just – I mean, it was just tough, you know. I mean, at some point, Josh Hubbard is just an absolute stud. And I thought – and honestly, I thought that we did a decent job. I mean, he ended up scoring a lot, but he took a lot of shots. I thought Auburn did a good job of containing him.
I thought that the officiating in that game – was officiated to keep the game close.
Yeah.
Because Mississippi State has to have their hands on you. They have to be able to just be tough and physical down low. And honestly, I don't want to say get away with stuff, but it has to be a very loosely called game. I think that's why you saw Mississippi State's record, what it was. Because in games where it was tightly officiated, they weren't going to come out on top.
And
in
I will say,
it was loosely.
And yeah. I will say, I thought the officials in the tournament let the guys play more than they ever do in the regular season.
Yeah.
I thought all of those games were more physical, more active. It was just a much different style of basketball than what you see in the regular season. And still, the officials were not great, but that's SEC officiating. It's never going to be great. I thought it was better in the tournament than it typically is in the regular season. But obviously, you know, Auburn was able to run Florida out of the gym, the tight game against Mississippi State, I thought was good. And looking back on it, it's ideal, I think, that the team has now had a close game that they won. Yeah. And I think that is very important that you're in that environment. And it's not as important when you have a team of seniors. And that goes into what we were talking about. When Florida goes on a run, it's so important to have seniors, you know, and to have guys on the floor like Janai, like Jay Will, like Chris Moore, that have played so much basketball. They've played in these high-level environments. They've played in high-stakes games. They've played in championship games. They know what they're doing. You know, they know what happens when a team's storming back. They can keep their composure. They can play good basketball. And I think that that is something that was really nice to see from this team. They never flinched. They were – You could tell there was one area. It was early in the first half, and I think Florida had an and one opportunity, either tied the game or they went down by one, something like that. And Janai gets the guys in a huddle, you know, yells at them a little bit, gets taken out, and you could tell just on everyone's faces, you could tell by what Janai was saying that they knew that they were doing. You know, it wasn't just Florida was being better than them; it was that they felt like they were beating themselves. And they obviously came out with a run and ended up winning the game pretty handedly. And it was a fun environment for everybody. But that was definitely encouraging to watch the team get hot. We talked about it last week that this team has the ability to get hot, needed the right matchups. And honestly, it was nice seeing a team that Auburn doesn't necessarily match up that well against.
Yep.
And Auburn dominated them. Yep. And that gives you a lot of confidence going into March. But so just talking about it, we talked about Auburn taking down South Carolina, which, I mean, that is just such an odd thing that South Carolina is a good team. And
they just get destroyed.
They just can't beat Auburn. And it was interesting seeing all the media replies from South Carolina fans that weren't even, you know, typically after a win, you're always going to see some salt from the fan bases. You know, even from Florida when they just made a championship, some fans are always going to have something. South Carolina, it was the most resigned I've ever seen a fan
base. I mean, how can you not be? You got beat by 70 total in
71
two
in two
yeah.
games. Yeah, I mean, it was just absolute domination. Tight game against Mississippi State, and then obviously the game against Florida. It was a very exciting tournament, and you know, I think that the committee obviously wasn't really paying that much attention to the tournament. We were watching the selection show on the way back from Nashville, and it really didn't seem like they took a lot into account when it came to the tournament. And it really wasn't just the SEC tournament. It felt to me that all the tournament, like none of the tournaments really played that much of a factor, except for obviously the automatic qualifiers.
Yes and no. Kentucky getting dropped, I think, was a result of the SEC tournament. I think that was a little bit surprising. And honestly, I think that the reason that they did that was, and I mean, I think we got shafted. Personally, I think we got shafted. I'm not trying to say that we didn't. I think that if you look at the rationale that the committee's going to use, they're going to say, look, Auburn didn't have many quad one wins during the season. And then, and we talked about this on the way back from Nashville about how messed up the quad one system is that South Carolina and Mississippi State would have both been quad one wins, but they got bumped out of the quad one by us beating them, and how the game that you play against somebody should not determine whether or not they get bumped out of a quadrant, one, two, three, whatever. So that was not in our favor. But I think just eye test-wise, Auburn has not played poorly on the road this year. Mm-hmm. Auburn's played, you know, par for the course, if not a little bit better than average on the road. Obviously, at home, we're playing better. But I think everybody knows that the jungle is a big environment.
And who can't say that?
Yeah, like, no. Kentucky can't. And that was the thing with Kentucky, was it the knock was always, hey, they're not very good at home, but they're great on the road. So then they go to a neutral site court, and they lose. And
and let me tell you, site is just not true. I mean, that arena was 95% Kentucky fans. It was deafening in there.
Yeah, and so, but I think that the committee looks at it and says, hey, I mean, if y'all aren't going to play great at home or on a neutral surface, the tournament's on a neutral court. Mm-hmm. We're gonna degrade because you've shown throughout the season this. Whereas for Auburn, you know, the SEC tournament didn't show much that the regular season didn't. Mm-hmm. We were Dalton Kinnett going off for 39 away from being the champs of both and still not getting the respect because we weren't beating a lot of quad one teams. Mm-hmm. And that was the same way through the SEC tournament. We beat two teams in the SEC tournament just like we beat them in the regular season. I mean, I hate to say that, but I mean, the Mississippi State game, we lost on the road, we won at home, and then it was close at a neutral site. That's the same as the regular season. The South Carolina, we blew them out at home. We blew them out at a neutral site. Same as the regular season. The only big difference was the Florida game. And who knows what the Florida game would have been like. Again, like I said, if they score on that one point, if Auburn's not coming off of a super emotional win against Alabama, and then having to go down to Gainesville, and just like we said about the jungle, going down to Gainesville is a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn hasn't won in Gainesville since the 90s.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do. So I don't think that you showed anything. And we, you know, we are pro Auburn. We think that Auburn should have been a 3 seed. But honestly, what did you show in the SEC tournament that was significantly different for the committee to say, you know what, they changed our minds. They're a different team than we thought they were. They kind of just did the same thing, and then they beat Ford on a neutral floor.
Yeah, and I genuinely completely agree with you. And I think that I was not as angered about the seeding as a lot of other Auburn fans were.
Okay, I was agitated that we were the 16th team, that we were the last.
See, that really didn't even bother me. I was agitated that we're going to Spokane, Washington to play.
Yeah,
that was what bothered me. And I get it if you're going to say, well, you're the worst 4 seed or the second to worst 4 seed and you got to play the top 1 seed. We're playing Connecticut and they're sending them to Spokane, Washington. Like, I don't know the exact distance, but I mean, that I can tell you Connecticut and Washington are not going to be close together. No. Like, I can't imagine there are a whole lot of Connecticut fans in Spokane. And I just thought that that was absolutely absurd to put the East region in Washington State. I mean, I just thought that was completely absurd. I thought that the committee made a lot of decisions that I just thought were very odd. But honestly,
now UConn is actually not playing in Spokane. So they are playing in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So they're playing in Brooklyn, and then if they advance, they will be playing in Boston.
Okay, so that's close.
I saw that earlier today. So that's why the East region. I think the question that I have is why some of the East region is being played in Brooklyn and some of it is being played in Spokane, Washington.
I mean, that's absurd.
That's what doesn't make sense, because you also look, because Alabama's not in the East region with us. Alabama was at the end of the tournament selection, and they are in Spokane, Washington as well.
Yeah.
Why we're spreading these teams out across the country, I think, is fair, because I think if you're going and playing in Brooklyn, I'm not opposed to playing in Brooklyn. I mean, it's far away from Auburn, but it's on the East Coast. And same thing with Boston. Heck, that's a tempting trip. Okay.
No, that is. That
going, going and yeah. watching a Sweet 16 game in the Garden. I know I'm not trying to be presumptive, but I'm just looking ahead and saying, honestly, if you had to ask me, would you rather watch a Sweet 16 game in the Garden in Boston, or would you rather go watch a Final Four game in Phoenix? I want to go watch the game in Boston. Like, I know it's Final Four or whatever. Who wants to go to Phoenix again? Like, how is Auburn, you know, it's like the football. Nobody wants to go to Phoenix. Nobody cared in 2010 that the game was in Phoenix. Now, in 2013, you got Pasadena. But same thing, the Final Four being in Minnesota. Minnesota and Phoenix, these are trash cities.
I think I have heard that Phoenix is – I've heard Phoenix is a cool place to live. But I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen someone say, oh, yeah, I'm going on vacation to
because
Phoenix.
Because of the weather.
Yeah, I mean
– I'm so excited. It's going to be warm. Well, yeah. Guess what, guys? In mid-April in Alabama, it's warm.
I think that Boston is definitely a cool place. I think that that's a cool opportunity for Auburn. But honestly, going back to the actual basketball aspect of it, at some point, yes, you want to make a deep run. Yes, a Final Four is better than a Sweet 16. But if you want to win a championship, at some point you do have to go through really good teams.
Yeah.
And I think I think a lot of people are like, oh, I wish, you know, you wish that you get the perfect draw. You get the worst one seed in your division. You get the worst four seed, the worst three seed, the worst all that. But at the end of the day, if you're going to win a championship, you're going to have beaten all those teams. You know, like UConn last year, it doesn't matter where you put them. They would have beaten everybody. Yeah. You know, like you can just look at all that. If you're playing well, you're playing well. And I think that's the opportunity that Auburn has, is that, you know, you're going to play good teams and you're going to have to win if you want to win a championship. Now, this region might be a Sweet 16 exit, but if you have a Sweet 16 exit to the eventual national champions, that's better. You know, it might not be better in the quote-unquote banner view, but if you lose to – you know, kind of a random team that's not that good in the Elite Eight that just had a good draw, or you lose to the eventual national champions in a tight game in the Sweet 16, I'm going to look upon that season as like, man, that team was good. You know, like they were that close, and I'm going to look at that team differently. And I think that if this team wants to win a national championship, you got to go through the best. And I think personally, UConn is the best one seed, and I think that Auburn has the opportunity to go through the best to win a national championship this year.
And I think if you beat the best, you feel amazing,
yeah,
going into the other rounds. I mean, your confidence, and I'm not saying in a slack off, they're going to take the next game easy. I don't think that anybody that gets to the Elite Eight is underestimating their opponent. But the confidence boost that you – if you beat UConn, you're like, yeah, we can beat anybody. Like, you're not scared of any team that you're going to face. And, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting thing. I think you look at the bracket – and I know you're not big on Kentucky. I think that what a bracket that Auburn fans would look at positively would be one like Kentucky's, though. You've got a team, they're going to end up, if everything holds chalk-wise, they're going to have Houston and then they're going to have Duke, and as opposed to having UConn and Iowa State. The thing about it, though, is you never know. You never know who's going to get upset. I mean, that it's the thing everybody says – anything can happen in March. It's all about the upsets. And then we all fill out our brackets and we all have UConn, Iowa State, Auburn, and Illinois going.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't happen. And we're like, oh my gosh, what happened? We don't even know. We don't even know. Auburn may not make it. San Diego State may not beat UAB.
The
FAU final, may be UConn.
The Final Four last year was a 4 seed, 2 5 seeds, and an 8 seed.
Yeah. And so if you were a team sitting here this week and you see that 8 seed, you're like, oh, that's a dub. That's an 8 seed. Well, they're a Final Four team.
Yeah.
That's same thing. Oh, that's a 5 seed. I love our matchup there. Well, honestly, you were probably better off playing a 1 seed statistically. So yeah. I don't know. I think it'll be very interesting. I also think there's something to be said. There's a lot of pressure when you're the number one overall seed.
That's true. That's
when
true.
You look at how number one overall seeds go, and I will say, most number one overall seeds don't have 3 losses on the year. They are typically a little bit more beatable than UConn. But at the same time, I mean, Kentucky had that year where everybody thought that they were unbeatable and they lost in, like, the Elite Eight. The Zion Duke team, the year that Auburn went
lost
to the Final
the Elite
Four,
Eight.
Lost in the Elite Eight. They didn't even make it to the Final Four. And they everybody said, I mean, they had NBA talent out to Wazoo.
Yeah, and speaking of Auburn last year, or I mean, not Auburn, but Auburn the year that they made the Final Four was a 5 seed.
Yes.
Like, It's about playing good basketball. And, you know, a lot of people don't really recall, you know, everyone likes to say, oh, they beat the three blue bloods. And that was big. Kansas that year was a four seed, you know, and maybe be a down year for Kansas, similar to this year where they're a four seed. Still Kansas, blow them out. Play UNC, who, in my opinion, was the best team in college basketball that year, top to bottom. That team was stacked. Had Kobe White playing in the NBA now. Had Cam Johnson playing in the NBA right now. Nasir Little playing in the NBA right now. Luke May, who was, you know, Mr. UNC. Yeah. Like, that was a really, really good team.
And everyone said they were good at the time.
That was one of the most predicted winners in the championship, you know, for the tournament. Auburn beats them. If you're playing good basketball, you're playing good basketball. And I think that that is the argument that Auburn has right now. And obviously, Kentucky – or not Kentucky, but UConn's a really good team. But, you know, it could be a rematch. You know, it's a rematch of 2 years ago in the Jabari year, that overtime thriller on that Thanksgiving tournament. I think that it's going to be a good matchup if we play them. I really like our chances. I like what you said about the confidence boost. And this team is going to be able to capitalize on a confidence boost. I mean, this team has no issues when fueled by emotion, being able to play solid basketball. So I'm really excited for this tournament. I think that it really is just a really cool opportunity. You see a team like Yale, obviously, is our first round matchup, and we'll try and talk about Yale a little bit. But I think it's difficult not to just look ahead to the path to a championship when you're in a year like this. But Yale, you know, we played Yale a couple years ago. I remember in Neville Arena. But Wheeler, just give us your thoughts really quick on just kind of the specific draw that Auburn has with Yale, and how you kind of foresee that game, and then the potential matchup against San Diego State or UAB panning out in those first two rounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think Yale is a quality team. I don't know if I'm sure you've seen the clip that's going around right now of CBS talking about how Auburn's guards are not athletic enough to keep up with Yale. They were known, they had a little bit of a buzzer beater to go and beat Brown in the Ivy League tournament. You know, the Ivy League champion is typically going to give a good fight in the NCAA tournament. You don't see the Ivy League champion, though, typically being your Cinderella story.
No.
You typically see the Ivy League champ that's going to make a run in the tournament actually having some noise in the tournament before they do anything. And then just going back, I mean, Yale, and I hate to sound just like a football fan here, but who's watching Paul Feinbaum. But if you go and look at who Yale played in their non-conference, like, they've played very little talented teams. I mean, the only team that you've ever heard of is Kansas. And they actually gave Kansas a really good run for their money. You know, they lost by 15, but I don't know. Losing by 15, that's not super impressive to me. They barely beat Howard, who's a 16 seed. We just saw Howard get into the tournament. So, no. I mean, Auburn should easily win this game. And I don't know if you noticed the Bruce Pearl slip. He was talking about the second round matchup. When they were talking, he didn't even talk about Yale. He was saying UAB and San Diego State are both very good teams, and we look forward to playing them. He didn't even mention Yale. He's literally sitting there talking about, you know, the two teams that they could potentially play in the next round, and I think that shows where he puts his respect in Yale. I mean, he's going to say all the right things now, but he did say – you know, talked about San Diego State and UAB more than he did about Yale.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's March Madness. Anyone can beat anyone. I think that when you look at this game, Auburn should not lose. And there's nothing – you're not going to really look at anything realistically from Yale and say, oh, yeah, I see this. They're going to beat Auburn. But it's March. You can see even the Final Four team almost lost New Mexico State in the first round. sometimes March just happens, you know, and something.
Yeah, but that's not something that you can analyze and say, oh, we're going to play bad and March is going to happen to us. I mean, on paper, we should win the game.
I think on paper, you look at what Yale has done. You look at what Auburn has done. You look at what Yale has done recently. You look at what Auburn has done recently. I mean, Yale just had a knockout scratch out with Brown to win the Ivy League championship. Auburn just beat Florida by
30.
Yeah, 22 points. But I'm not terribly worried about the Yale game. I think the second round matchup is very interesting. You have obviously UAB as a potential sleeper Cinderella team. Then you have San Diego State, who has just a really good program. They really are. They obviously lost in the national championship last season. Strong team. Chad Baker Mazzara, it's kind of a potential revenge game for him. He played on their team 2 years ago and was actually a pretty solid player. And I think that that's a cool little kind of an additional storyline going in. And let's just talk, I mean, not trying to go too far back to the SEC tournament, but let's just talk about Chad Baker Mazzara and Denver Jones. You know, we talked about it excessively on last week's podcast about how important their play was going to be, and man, they played so well. They were playing great. Denver Jones was just an absolute defensive menace. Chad was hitting shots, playing really well. Obviously, Janai. Jay Will had a pretty quiet tournament, I thought, especially against Mississippi State against South Carolina, especially. But I will be interested to see how he performs in March as kind of that guy that we lean on. But it seems like it's going to be Janai is going to be the main factor. You know, he's going to be getting doubles against Yale. And I think that's a storyline to watch further with Denver and Chad, how they'll play, but how Janai can handle those double teams. Can he limit turnovers? Can he find the open man? And can he get going in the assisting game?
I felt like Jalen was getting hacked the entire tournament and was not getting any calls. I don't know why he wasn't getting any calls. It's almost like he was getting calls like he was a big man, but he was trying to make guard plays.
Yeah.
And so he was getting hacked, and that's why he wasn't shooting well, I thought. It's not like he had a lot of great looks that he was just missing. I thought he made a bunch of tough looks, and I thought that he got hacked on a ton. Mm-hmm. And there were multiple. And he doesn't get frustrated at the refs, and he was getting frustrated at the refs because, I mean, he was getting, like, both arms a slash down. So I think that's part of the reason he was quiet. I think it will be really good for this Auburn team. I know everybody hates on the Spokane, Washington thing. Spokane, Washington has completely different refs who have not watched a lot of KD Johnson. They have not watched a lot of Chad Baker Mazzara. They have not heard him speaking Spanish to everybody. They have not seen Janai tell everybody, their brother, their mother, and their cousin, that they are too little to guard him. That's a good thing for Auburn. And I know that that's an underrated thing. Especially going out there, it's not as big of a deal. Today's Tuesday. They left today. They probably, by the time we do this, this podcast gets released, the team will have landed in Washington. They do not have to play until Friday afternoon. Mm. Okay, they'll be used to the time change by then. The refs, look for the refs to be good. That's my look for the refs to not. This could be Chad's golden opportunity to not get a double technical, and that would be saying something, because I think he got one in every single. Did he get? He didn't get one in the championship. They reviewed one.
Reviewed one, and then in the. I know he had one. I know he had one in the second game. The first game he had a tech. See, I know they called a tech on the South Carolina guy that I thought probably should have been a double tech. I thought Chad may have instigated a little bit, but
either way, Chad is always at the heart of techs, one way or the other.
If there is a conflict, you know that Chad will be in the middle of it. And if he's not a participant, he will be in the middle of trying to break it up in a
way that also
might stir the pot a little bit. I mean,
and then you put him next to KD on the bench and they just mouth bad things to the other team when the ref isn't looking.
And I think that you definitely have the problem when you have guys that play with a lot of emotion like this team does. you're going to have that bias, you know, and the SEC, I definitely think, looks at certain things. And when guys make emotional plays, and this was something that was really prevalent from watching the game in person, the SEC tournament, because Auburn is known around the SEC for being a very celebration heavy team. You know, you're going to see Janai do the seatbelt. You're going to see Chad. Yeah, you're going to see Chad doing a lot of talking. You're going to see Trey, KD doing a lot of talking. You're going to see Dylan, when he gets a block, he's going to run over to the fans, and he is going to just yell, hype them up, go crazy all around the court. And the SEC refs were very cautious with Auburn, really not any other team, about enforcing the rules, about not being able to cross half court in celebrations, just kind of telling guys to quit celebrating earlier than anyone else would. I don't foresee that happening in the NCAA tournament. When they don't know these guys and they haven't reffed 15 of their games, they're not going to say
– They're in for a treat.
Yeah, they're not going to say, hey, man, you can't celebrate like that, like all this kind of stuff. It's going to be a different environment. But that's just who this team is, you know? This team is very – it's just a different team than what we've seen previous years in Auburn. And I think that, you know, Bruce talked about it at the trophy ceremony, is the reason that you have this is because they all get along so well. Like, they're all good friends. They're all very emotional players. But that's why you bring in guys like Chad Baker Mazar. Like, you're going to watch his film and you're going to know, all right, this guy's an emotional player. He's going to try and get under the opponent's skin. And if
it's going to work.
Yeah, and if you don't have anyone else like that, you know, he might not be the ideal guy. But when you have guys like Janai, when you have guys like Trey, KD, you're gonna be like, all right, this guy's going to fit in really well. And obviously it has. He's been a great pickup. But I'm very excited to see how these guys react to both the moment and just playing in March. You're going to have a lot of opportunities. And before we go,
is Aiden the only one who is not? Did Chad play in the tournament when he was at San Diego State?
I believe so.
And I doubt Denver played in the tournament because he was in Conference USA. They would have been a one bid league. I would be intrigued. I feel like almost everybody on the team, though. I mean, all of your starting lineup other than Aiden has played in the NCAA tournament.
Denver never played.
Denver hasn't played in the NCAA tournament. But that's the thing. When you've had so many guys on your – when you've had eight guys on your team play in the tournament, the one or two, you've got Aiden, you've got Denver, and Chaney. You know, those are probably your three guys who definitely have it. Maybe Chad. You know, I mean, so four, you're going to have more guys with experience in the tournament than not having experience in the tournament. And I didn't think that the SEC tournament lights looked too big for any of them. And I mean,
did make the tournament when Chad was there.
So there you go. So, yeah. So you've got three guys who are in the playing rotation who have never made the NCAA tournament.
And part of that, I definitely, like, obviously you talk about guys that have experience in the tournament, or it's good to have those guys. But sometimes you do have guys that have never played in the tournament and they elevate their game in the tournament. Like that's
Trey
just,
Donaldson.
Yeah, like that's just who they are. And that you know, who knows? You might see that from a guy like Chaney, who has been developing his offensive game. You know, he might average, you know, who knows? He might average 10, 12 points throughout the tournament. That'd be huge. Aiden Holloway might do
flashing threes at the SEC.
Yeah. And I mean, Aiden might do what Trey did last year. Trey wasn't exactly playing the best basketball of the season leading into March, comes in against Iowa and is just balling. I mean, you're going to see surprises in the tournament. And before we go, just giving props to Chris Moore.
Yep.
You know, that was a guy who had really lost minutes with Lior playing super well. Lior goes down with an injury. Simo comes back into the lineup, and all tournament was just playing so well. Playing well often, didn't miss a shot all tournament. You know, had a couple good timely putbacks, had a couple tough offensive rebounds, played great defense. I mean, the guy just played a great tournament, played his role so well. And I think that that's a guy, if he keeps playing like that, you're going to have a lot of problems. You know, other teams are going to have a lot of problems with guys like that, especially with, you know, Janai, Jay Will doing their thing. So I'm excited. I think every Auburn fan is high on this team. And you know, just Friday can't get here soon enough.
Yep. It'll be a lot of fun. I feel good about Friday. I think Sunday is when the tournament is going to get really real. You know, not that Friday's not the real tournament. You can definitely get eliminated on Friday, but I feel really good about Friday. We'll see. On one hand, I want to play UAB because I think Auburn matches up really well with UAB. On the other hand, you know, it's a little bit frightening to have those in-state opponents that you could potentially lose to in the tournament, but that's part of the fun of March.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely excited about that, but we'll be back next week breaking down what is hopefully a round of 64 and round of 32 win. And as always, you know, thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, and if you're listening to this, join the Auburn Today Bracket Challenge on the tournament app. I posted it on the story. I'll post it again before the game. Join that, make the brackets, and let's see who's got the best one. Again, thank you guys so much for listening, and War Eagle.
War Eagle.